lies and hypocrisy of Christianity, Roman Catholicism. Join us as we start our series dissecting the different denominations and sects of religion in the world today on the Native Latin and Black Girls History Show.
Nobody really want fuego, Masayo will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or bury the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
Hey.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I am Captain Yashua, along with
Officer Amariah.
And we're running a little light today. Okay. It's all right.
That's all we need.
I mean, I don't like to pat myself on the shoulder, but I mean, we got some heavy hitters.
You know, heavy hitter squad.
We got a heavy hitter squad. Hey, heavy hitters.
Repenting version.
I know. I gotta play with these a little more,
let
man.
The bomb drop.
I keep
on Sabbath. We bring in the radio show with the bomb drop.
Who are the five greatest rappers? Dylan. Hey, shalom, Most High in Christ, bless all praise to the Most High in Christ for another Sabbath to put in our remembrance, to do His will. All right, so we out here bringing you the show. Today, we're going to talk about the lies and hypocrisy of Christianity.
Bring it out.
Yeah, it is going to be a little series. It might not run sequentially, you know, from week to week, but every now and then, that'll be what it is. This week, we're gonna touch and stay on Roman Catholicism, Lord will, and we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, just in case word gets out, you know, Bishop likes us to make sure that we're wearing our purple shirts. This is an official, right? This is the new hoodie, okay?
The new hoodie that you can find exclusively on www.originalroyalty.com.
That's right.
You can go there for all your, you know, righteous apparel, your study material, posters. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff on Original Royalty. Plus, those things go back as alms, all right? You get something in return, but those alms go to the nation to help us build the nation of Israel.
That's right. All right. I'm going to share some links while I do so. If you could go ahead and just kind of talk a little bit, maybe give a little fill-in on this stuff. I got some articles and information on Catholicism.
Captain already said it. We're going to go into Roman Catholicism, something that he knows very much about growing up in the Catholic Church.
Yep.
Me personally, I didn't grow up in any kind of denomination. I later on, when I got to boot camp, chose to be agnostic just because I didn't want to believe that this was it. I mean, if you really believe that this is it, then you might as well swallow a bullet right now, because what are you living for? You're literally living that way your oppressor can continue to reign over you. So, I mean, but that goes into faith and everything else. But so I subscribed to being agnostic just because I wanted to believe that there was a God. But any organized religion I couldn't subscribe to because it was confusing. Because I'm like, how is there one God? But then there's Christians, there's Catholics. Within Christianity, you have apostolics, Baptists, so many different things. You have the Mormons, you got Islam. So it was
non-denominational.
Right. Non-denominational.
Which is a denomination.
Which is the same thing as Israelites that say that they don't have camps, right? Because
right.
because when you read the definition of a camp is a group of people that subscribe to the same ideologies and doctrines. So you do have a camp. You just don't call yourself a camp. Same thing as Christianity saying that they're non-denominational. That's ridiculous. But all praises to the Most High. Captain, want to go into this. Any kind of organized religion, I hate to the umpteenth degree because it's nothing but confusion that's going to cause our people to die. And it's very simple if you just examine history and you say, well, how did Puerto Ricans or Mexicans or whatever of the Northern Kingdom tribes became Catholics? It's obvious that it was through oppression, but things get lost over a supposition of time, and then we think that we're everything but God's chosen people. Can I bring up a script cap?
Go ahead, bro.
All right. I'm going to get 2 Corinthians, because I would be amiss if I didn't bring this out. Let me see. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So we understand that this is a spiritual fight against everything that Esau and the nation set up against God's chosen people, keep us in oppression. It says, "But mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds." Roman Catholicism and any other organized religion is a stronghold on our people. Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So, as we understand, precept must be upon precept, right? We know that precepts are laws. So this is a law that we have to follow here in these last days. As we get awoken to the fact that we're Israel, we understand our obligation in pushing this truth. It says that we have to cast down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. All right? The knowledge of God is simple. It's his laws. Israel, keep the laws in the faith of our King Christ and receive the kingdom. Catholicism is going to lead you away from the kingdom of God. All right, so that's why we're commanded to come together and cast down this stronghold.
Right, all praises. I want to see the order that I want to bring these out. I guess, you know what, I'll save that one for after. And
that's the thing, there's just so much, right?
There is, bro. So right, let me tell you, man, I give all praises and honor and glory to the Most High in Christ because I'm telling you, a lot of times, and I don't say this to vaunt myself, but just so that you know that the Spirit, it's not like some fairy tale movie where I hear the Lord speaking to me or whatever. The Scripture tell you the Lord don't deal with brothers and sisters like that today, all right? But when I say the Spirit guides me, I didn't know what we were going to talk about. A lot of times I don't know what we're going to talk about, right? Unless something real crazy is going on in the news.
No, just to give a little backstory real quick, real fast cap. That's actually 110% because most of them come in and be like, "Hey, where's the articles? You guys got articles?"
Right.
And we're like, oh gosh.
Right. So,
get real quick.
So it may seem like I'm unprepared, but it's not that, right? I mean, I don't know. I put it in the inverse. When I tried to prepare like a week in advance in the beginning when we started first starting the show,
right,
we never spoke about what I prepared anyway.
Right.
So I kind of opened myself up to just kind of see what pops in my head. And usually I'll go through news articles which I did last night. I said, you know, let me see what's going on in the world. And, you know, how do we make those things relevant today? Because the reason I think that's important, rather than just sit here and give you scripture class, is that we have platforms like that. We have formats like that where, you know, it's going to be a more typical classroom type of class, what you might be accustomed to if you were ever part of any other type of organized religion or church, right? So I wanted to do something a little different. And I think it's a nice approach to go ahead and show you how the Bible's still relevant today and how the things that are happening in the world today were either A, prophesized, or how sound the doctrine of the Scripture is, that it transcends the time periods, the epoch of wherever we're in the world today.
Right.
And it's applicable to our people for always. All right. So with that being said, I was looking, you know, checking some news aggregator sites and stuff like that and seeing what's going on. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about this. It just sounds too repetitive. I mean, even though we could still bang on a lot of stuff, I was like, So I saw something about Catholicism, and it caught my eye, right? And so we'll bring it out later, but the article that caught my eye was, let me pull it up. Says Chileans lose faith as Vatican scrambles to contain sex abuse scandal.
I saw that same exact story.
So I said, I said, damn. So I started using the aggregator site to look at stuff on Catholicism. So I found another article as well, and I said, you know, I said I'm not gonna necessarily talk about this in the vein of the article 100% because it's almost kind of one of those known and accepted type of things, but nobody really makes a big deal out of it. That. There's always a sex scandal with the Catholic Church.
Always.
And it's always a homo sex scandal with the Catholic Church, right?
Right.
Very rarely do you hear anything that, you know, oh, the priest was molesting little girls. They're always molesting little boys. So we'll touch on that. But then I said, you know, I know it's been done before, but I don't know how well documented it is. I think we should dissect the different religions and different denominations, and we can prep in that way. So from time to time, if there's not something more pressing going on in the news that we're going to talk about, and I kind of like the title, the lies and hypocrisy kind of thing. We did lies and hypocrisy of Edom last week.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, let's just make this kind of like a series. I said, so, you know, we'll talk about Roman Catholicism, and the article led me to that. And like the officer said, I know intimately Catholicism. I went to Catholic school from kindergarten through eighth grade. I was en route to go to Catholic high school. Financial reasons prevented me from doing so.
Hey, all prison.
I was an altar boy, not molested or touched. I was an altar boy for many, many years. All right. Remind me to tell you a funny story, though, like when I found out all this stuff, right? In me being naive.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't look at it away, but I could see instances where that spirit would be brought upon some of these men that are priests and brothers and things like that. All right. Not that I witnessed any abuse or anything, but I'll give you an example regarding a retreat. If we get to it, remind me, if it'll be as well, how we used to do, altar boys used to do like a retreat, like upstate at like one of the bigger monasteries up there. Okay.
Are you see where this is going?
No, it's not salacious. There ain't no freaking gay orgies or nothing going on. But you know, but I'll just tell you like kind of how it could foster that. All right. And I said, you know what? This one I could definitely speak about. And you know, like the officer, as far as you know, he chose to kind of go away from God and stuff at all when he went to the military. I probably soured on Catholicism probably right after high school. Like I never did confirmation as far as the sacraments and stuff. I started taking the classes for it, and I was kind of like, once I got like around 14 or so, I started to kind of see the contradictions in the scriptures and kind of what Catholicism was doing. So I shied away from that. And then, you know, I always held a belief to God, but I really wasn't tied to any church. I tried some, you know, born again Christian type things here and there because I had friends that were in that and what have you. I never really felt compelled to be a Jehovah's Witness, but I knew some growing up, you know, in high school and everything. And when I went to the military, I became Protestant. Was it Protestant? All I know is it was because they had like a band with guitar and stuff like that.
In the military for me, I became, I didn't become, but I would attend the Buddhist service. You know why? Because we would meditate, so I was able to sleep for an extra hour. That was the only
I was stressed and basic, so I was like, and it was a way to not do detail back on Sundays back at the barracks.
Right.
So I said, man, I said, you know, if I go to Catholic service, right? I was like, I feel hypocritical. I don't want to mess with that because I had a belief in God.
Right.
I said, let me try this Protestant thing, and I remember like feeling so uplifted, and I was like, wow, this is great. Like, you know, this is, and I was Protestant until after tech school.
Yep.
And then I dropped religion altogether, and then I tried different things, and then I was non-denominational. One day maybe I'll share my story. Not that I was guilty of homosexuality, but like in hindsight, I realized it was a gay church. All right, it was a homosexual church in Chelsea in New York, no less, which is notoriously known for being like, you know, a little homo ghetto. And when I say ghetto, I mean in the proper terms, not like it was rough and tough, but that That's where all the homos lived. So that's where they resided. You know, and I was like, I never understood how I couldn't see it until like after I left. I was like, oh my God, this is a mo church. I was like, what the hell is going on here? First of all, the woman was I'm not going to spend too much time on it. It was a woman leading the congregation, and she was a mo too.
Dang.
Hey, it was a zeal of the Lord, but not according to knowledge, like the scripture says, you know?
I mean, that's why it's just a drug, like you said, like you feel good, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Man, I remember I attended a all Spanish speaking church one time because a friend wanted me to. I don't speak a lick of Spanish. I can understand some. I can speak a little bit here and there, but as far as going to a service that's nothing but Spanish, that wasn't the place for me to be. Man, tell me why I cried like four different times in there because I was just like, oh, I could feel the spirit moving in here. It's nothing but a drug. Leave there and then go out, start committing fornication and defiling my temple with God knows what. But I mean, that's what it is. It's just a drug.
Hey, yeah, bro. I remember the first Protestant service I went to. I freaking cried. Bro, they made me cry. God loves you. Because you feel like crap that first week, 0 week in basic. Mm-hmm. They make you feel like shit, bro. And you're like, damn, man, why did I do this?
Right.
You know? I remember pulling up in the bus when you got there. And the freaking DI came on just freaking like screaming at us and stuff like that. And I was like, damn, why did I do this? I was like, oh, shit. So there was like a lot of tension that first week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, man, I remember I went to that Protestant service and like the timing was right in my life and I just cried. And I was like, oh, bro, I remember I cried when I went to the Mo Church, bro. They do this thing where they turn the lights down.
Set the mood?
They set the mood, right?
Oh, man.
You hold hands and you talk about forgiving yourself and forgiving others. It's like real moving,
right,
mushy stuff. I'm not saying you shouldn't forgive yourself, forgive you, right? In the proper context of what the scriptures say, though, but it was just utter ignorance that I was dealing with that. So I say all that to lead up to this to say, not that I'm an expert, but we kind of qualify ourselves having been exposed to certain religions, different denominations in different ways, right? So I'm done posting the links. Call in numbers 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. You can catch us on blogtalkradio.com/IUIC Phoenix, as well as on Facebook at The Lost 144K. And we do the live cast from there on Sabbaths. And it's good because it gives us like a dual thing. Blog Talk been messing with us, right? We had like 2 weeks in a row,
man,
where we were getting like bad connection and stuff like that. So let's see. We changed some stuff up to see if that happens.
I wouldn't even call it bad connection. I would call it just the.
I know, but you know what it is, man. I try not to make myself like feel paranoid or go, oh, see, they messing with us. But it's real. It's real out there.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's scriptural.
It's real.
The dragon's wroth.
The dragon does get wroth.
It
right?
is what it is.
You know, I don't want to feel like, oh, you're so vain that you think they're really going to take my little broadcast.
You know what? It's funny to that because I think like that too sometimes. Like really, like you, nigga.
Yeah, right. I'd be like yeah, you, like my little 800 fans on the page here. You know, the listens that we get and stuff like that. But you never know, man. The word don't go out void.
There you
so
go.
So that's what tempers me, and that's why I say it was the devil that took us off the air. So Roman Catholicism. I'm glad you mentioned originalroyalty.com for those who joined late. I am in uniform. This is an official, all right, IUIC hoodie. Okay. Big embroidery piece on the back. It's cold in here, so
It is. That's why I got to get one now.
Yeah. And you can get your official IUIC apparel at originalroyalty.com. All your Israelite apparel needs can kind of be met there. Fringes, different things. Music. Got some good music out. Mm-hmm. All right. And also, if you want more understanding, more classes on various subjects, you can go to IsraelUnite.org. We have classes basically 24/7 in some way, shape, or form that you can be a part of. Several that are live throughout mm-hmm. the day. And all your resources will be on that website to get you started on your journey towards repenting.
Any question you have when you first come into this truth can literally be found on the website.
Oh, yeah. But I used to refer to it, and that was the ugly site we had years ago. Now we have a pretty nice site. Yeah, so yeah. I used to refer, like two sites ago, right? But I think y'all remember the original one. It was like real, but it served its purpose. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, there were topics on there about, you know, death, marriage, different basic stuff and scriptures on it.
The strangers, Jews and Gentiles.
The holy days.
Dietary law.
Right.
Because no one comes in and says, hey, brother, how you doing? I got a quick question for you about the four horsemen in Revelation. They don't know.
No,
they
don't.
They come in and they're like, what do you mean?
No,
like,
occasionally you will have some weirdo that comes with that.
Okay, occasionally, yes. But
no, normally nobody does.
But
I got
for the norm, people come in and then they have questions about things that they learned in Catholicism, but they learn in Christianity. And they say, well, you know, there's only two great commandments type stuff. And so you go on there and you learn about the laws.
Right.
It's even questions that brothers that are in the body ask me. And I'm like, well, brother, did you look at the website?
Right. It's kind of like, yeah, use your resources and
right,
stuff
exactly.
like that. So, yeah, I mean, hey, when I refresh for the High Holy Days, man, I go to the website there.
Yep,
and,
exactly.
And I take a look, you know.
Exactly.
So ain't no shame in my game.
They'd be like, man, how do you remember all this?
I don't.
I literally just read it today.
I literally don't. I read it today and then gave the sense, right? So let's read a little bit about Roman Catholicism. Okay, let's get to talking about this. So Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism is a Christian church that has been the decisive spiritual force in the history of Western civilization.
Hmm.
All right, this is from Britannica.com. All right, and they have some good resources here if like you want to go more in depth. I'm just going to kind of read the overview, but they have the history of Roman Catholicism, the emergence of Catholic Christianity, the Church of the Early Middle Ages, the Church of the High Middle Ages, the Church from the Late Middle Ages to the Reformation. Notice they don't put like, you know, the Dark Ages in there.
Right.
They go from Middle Ages to Reformation, because Reformation was that Renaissance,
right,
where, you know, they came into power. The Israelites came back into power. All right. Not really under the Most High in Christ, but just as a dominant force in the world, mm-hmm. like you know him as the Moors and different things like that. And then, you know, Rome rose again during the Renaissance, and that's what they call the Age of Reformation, and they started reforming the church and things like that. But you have a lot of history. Roman Catholicism, this is probably a very accurate statement, and it's very broad when it says it has been a decisive spiritual force in the history of Western civilization. Every offshoot, right, and these other denominations ain't gonna like it. Jehovah, Baptist, Lutheran, Puritan, Apostolic, Apologetics,
mm-hmm.
Everything is an offshoot of Roman Catholicism.
That's right.
Roman Catholicism is the head, okay, and everything has came from that. All right, it says the Christian Church has been a decisive spiritual force in the history of Western civilization. All right. And that couldn't be a truer statement. I think between that and then maybe Islam right behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about Nation of Islam, Farrakhan Islam. All right. Even though that's had its influence here in the States, I'm talking about like real Islam. Probably been the two major forces as far as spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
But Catholicism is the monster. All right. That's the big red elephant in the room. would that be a good descriptor?
Right.
It's the big red elephant in the room. Every denomination today is an offshoot of that. You got something you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. So it says, along with Eastern Orthodoxy and Protestantism. I don't know that much about Eastern Orthodoxy. I've been exposed to it a little bit. Protestantism, I was a part of it for a little while. We'll also touch on those, right, eventually, Lord's will. It is one of the three major branches of Christianity. And what's funny is that within those branches, there's subsets to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have – so even within Protestantism and everything else, there's stuff like that. So when they talk about the Reformation, you had the Protestant Reformation. This is where the books of the Apocrypha were taken out
mm-hmm.
of the KJV. It was the Protestant Reformation that did this, I think somewhere in the 1700s
right.
is when this happened. The KJV was published in 1611. The Reformation happened sometime in the 1700s where they got together and were like, the Apocrypha, we're going to call them the Apocrypha. They weren't known as the Apocrypha then. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other misnomer about that. It's inappropriate to really refer to it as the Apocrypha. It was just part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now it's kind of crafty with the Reformation. They called it the Apocrypha. And they said, it's not inspired. You know, it's good stuff. It might have some reference, but it's not inspired. So Catholics kept most of the books. Protestants removed, I think, all of them. And then you had, that's when you had it started getting different versions of the Bible and stuff like that. So let's read on. The Roman Catholic Church traces its history to Jesus Christ. Notice it says the Roman Catholic Church does that. It's not saying that the history relates to Christ. That's not what the Bible says. All right. I can't emphasize that enough. And the apostles. Over the course of centuries, it developed a highly sophisticated theology and an elaborate organizational structure headed by the papacy, the oldest continuing, wait for it, absolute monarchy in the world.
Mm.
So when you think of terms of religion, and I say religion and not the Bible, because the Bible is a monarchy,
mm-hmm.
right? Because Christ is the king.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be, and there's going to be rulership under the king, right? But religions don't really speak in that way, except Catholicism. And they're basically telling you that the way it's set up, the whole thing, all right, it's a monarchy. And it uses the term absolute monarchy, all right? When something is absolute, it means without disputation.
Right.
All right? It tells you here absolutism, it's a political system. That's how they describe it. We're supposed to be talking about a religion, and they're talking about it as a monarchy and a political system. So don't be mistaken when we speak about what we speak about with these religions. Trust me, it all boils down to kind of politics, all right? It says, absolutism is the political doctrine and practice of unlimited centralized authority. Unlimited centralized authority and absolute sovereignty. Let me stop there for a moment with sovereignty. The Vatican is a country.
That's right.
It's its own sovereign territory.
Yep.
They pay taxes to no one. They pay no land taxes to anybody. They have their own rules, their mm-hmm. own police force,
yep.
their own doctors, their own detectives. All right? And listen, I know people talking about the Da Vinci Code and all this other stuff, and there's little tidbits in there. The guy did his research on Catholicism, and you see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the library with all the books and things like that, they got hidden there.
Oh, 100%, bro. They got all of our stuff.
Bro, that stuff
there.
Is in vaults.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, that's it's not a far stretch when we talk about the things that we talk of. People who are really drunk on the doctrines of America in this world and be like, you're talking conspiracy stuff.
I mean, that's why Esau in his craftiness puts things like that in movies. That way, when we understand that is the truth, it sounds so far-fetched because you saw it in all the sci-fi movies. You're like, that sounds like some kind of movie that like I just watched on FX.
Right, right. So, hold on, absolutism. So it says it's political doctrine and practice of unlimited centralized authority and absolute sovereignty as vested especially in a monarch or dictator. And their monarch or dictator is the Pope that
right.
they put in power every year. All right. Hold on a second. I think we have a caller. It looks like he's been holding for a little while. Let's see if this goes through. This is the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
Hi. I was going to call in, but I'm at Starbucks right now. I was going to press one like real quick, but can you just like mute me real quick? Because I'm in line. Sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry. I was going to call in, but I was like, I was listening.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
Appreciate the listen.
Right. Okay. So, okay, here we go. All right. So, the Pope is a monarch, all right, or a dictator. It says the essence of an absolutist system is that the ruling power is not subject to regularized challenge or check by any other agency, be it judicial, legislative, religious, economic, or electoral. This is how the Roman Catholic Church operates.
That's right.
All right. You have to understand that it's an extension of Rome, and it's a transformation of how Rome kind of influenced the world today. All right. America's an extension of Rome Okay?
Right.
And remember what I said, all the little offshoots that come from Catholicism, all right? It says King Louis, this is the 14th of France, furnished the most familiar assertion of absolutism when he said, l'état c'est moi, I am the state. All right. Absolutism has existed in various forms in all parts of the world, including in Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler and in the Soviet Union. So it's basically giving you it's comparing Catholicism to those type of things. OK. Let's see here.
Real quick, Ducap, since you mentioned the Pope, time permitting, we're definitely going to go into the scriptures and dispel that whole thing where Catholics say that Peter was the first pope.
Right. And that's interesting, too, because as I continue to read this, we can probably go over that next. So if you want to get that ready, because I'm going to discuss the papacy a little bit. All right. As defined here by Encyclopedia Britannica. So it says the papacy, the office and jurisdiction of the Bishop of Rome. The pope who presides over the central government of the Roman Catholic Church. Listen to the terms that they're using. These are not terms that you necessarily hear in churches, mm-hmm. okay? Now, we understand the meaning of government, right, really does fall in line with religion because it's kind of a set of laws and things you subscribe to, right? This is why I say if politics here in America, the way people are on it, I've said this before on the show, that's really your religion, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're one of those devout Democrats, Republicans, whatever you align yourself with, it's a form of religion. You read that in the Maccabees
right.
when he speaks about that democracy, right? So he says he's the office and jurisdiction of the Bishop of Rome. The office and they call him the Bishop of Rome.
Man.
the Pope, who presides over the central government of the Roman Catholic Church, the largest of the three major branches of Christianity. The term Pope was originally applied to all the bishops in the West, and also used to describe the Patriarch of Alexandria, who still retains the title. In 1073, however, Pope Gregory the VII restricted its use to the Bishop of Rome, confirming a practice that had existed since the 9th century. All right? And there's more information on this. I'm not going to go too much into it. They kind of restrict you. They want to, like, gather your information, and, you know, you pay for that stuff. But all we want is kind of like the little intro piece to that.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much got what we needed. The fact that it's a monarchy, that it's
right.
a dictatorship.
Right.
And
it's the oldest continuing absolute monarchy
right, there you
in
go.
The world. All right, in the world. So let's stop for a second and let's talk about what the scripture has to say, because Catholics like to bring out this particular scripture. All right. I'll read for you.
Okay. I'll praise it.
Okay. Where are we going?
Matthew 16, and we'll just start at verse 15.
All right, Matthew 16:15.
To just give a little back synopsis on this chapter, the followers of Christ, there were, well, not just them, but there was many people, the Pharisees and scribes as well, that were wondering who Christ was in their regeneration. That's right, regeneration. You know, that's a different topic for a different day. However, there were some that were saying that he was Elias. Some were saying that he was Jeremiah. And then so he has this conversation with Peter, 16, verse 15.
Okay. So it says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
So
can I start above? Because
course,
we got to
yeah,
set
course.
The tone for this, right? And so that you really see that the topic isn't Peter. The topic is Christ.
Right, absolutely.
He's the subject matter yeah. of these verses.
Right.
And it's like so blatantly obvious, but Christianity has taken this, and so has Roman Catholicism in its papacy with its absolute monarchy, and this is their justification for creating bishops of Rome,
mm-hmm.
all right? Because you don't see Pope in the Bible.
You don't see anywhere.
You don't
exactly.
see papacy, okay?
You don't see Catholicism.
You don't see Bishop of Rome.
Nothing.
None of that stuff, all right? So it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So understand, the intro here is he's talking about himself.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
He says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiahs, or one of the prophets.
So they're telling Christ, so they're asking, or they're answering his question. They're saying, oh, well, some people are saying that you're either John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, or maybe even one of the other prophets. Right? Read on.
He says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
So he said unto his disciples, well, who do you think that I am?
And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
So Peter had no, he didn't mistake it for nothing. He said, well, we know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Read on.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
So it wasn't just his own understanding. It was the Father that revealed unto Peter that Christ was exactly the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now this next verse, verse 18, this is the one that Catholics love to pull and say, see, Peter was indeed the first pope. Even though it doesn't say that, and we're going to go precept upon precept to actually give this sense of what this scripture is actually saying, what Christ is saying when he's talking to Peter and his disciples. Read.
Right. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Oh, see, there you go. They say, see, he told Peter that he's going to build a church on this rock, and then, boom, you're the head of the church. The first pope has been created. But no. All right, again, precept must be upon precept. So he says, and I said unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. So let's get 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Let's go ahead and get the precept for the rock.
All right. So it says 1 Corinthians 10 and 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea.
So when we came out of Egypt, we were all under the cloud, which was the chariot that was leading us from Egypt to the promised land. Read.
And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
That's where we were reintroduced the laws of God, because the laws have always been around since the book of Genesis. Read on.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat.
Read on.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
And that rock was Christ. Christ is the foundation of the nation of Israel. So when we go back to Matthew 16, verse 18, and when he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What he's saying, upon myself is where I build my church. But we understand that when you read the book of Acts, the Most High doesn't dwell in places made by the hands of man. The church simply just means an assembly of people. The church is referring to the nation of Israel. You got that, Cap? You getting the one in Hebrews or the one in Acts?
No, I'm sorry. I was looking at something else. What do you want me to get?
give me Hebrews 10:25.
All right.
To explain the church, because again, if you leave it up to the minds of those that are lost in Catholicism, they're going to tell you, no, the church is actually that they built an actual building. But no, that's not the case.
So you said you want Hebrews 10:25?
No, Hebrews, where is that? When it talks about the church. There's two different ones, but
well,
I think the one in Hebrews is actually better.
Well, I like the one in Acts because we started in Hebrews 10 and 1.
Okay,
right?
Okay, perfect.
So it kind of goes with the whole point. So you understand what's going on there with the with the wilderness.
Okay, you're right. Operas.
And then while you talk about that, I'll look for the one in 10 for you. Okay, so it's Acts. Hold on. The church in the wilderness, 738.
Well, while you get that, I'm going to read verse 48 real quick. It says, right. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. So that's key in understanding what Christ is talking about when he uses the word church. He's not talking about a physical building for us to dwell inside. Verse
right.
38.
Okay, so Acts 7 and 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us.
So this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Now, when we're in the wilderness, we weren't all singing.
Start at 37. I'm sorry, but I don't mean to cut you.
No,
I'm thinking of Hebrews 10 and 1, right? So it says 37. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear.
Now, this is the prophecy that Moses was speaking about, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Because you got Islam that says that's talking about Muhammad.
Hell to the no.
But, and you know it's not.
And
we're going
to prove that now, too. On this same subject matter, we're about to crush Catholicism and Islam.
Right. He says, like, unto your brethren. That right there lets you know that he had to be of the seed of the nation of Israel.
Yeah, you're right. That's the quick cut. Well, he said of your brethren, right? And we know that Christ comes from the tribe of Judah.
Right.
Of the seed of David. Okay? And then verse 38, he says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai. He's not saying this is Moses that was in the church in the wilderness.
Right.
This goes back to Hebrews 10 and 1. And then I'll let you make your point. I want to bring this point out.
The one that we just read?
Yep.
1 Corinthians 10 and 1?
Oh, 1 Corinthians 10 and 1. I apologize.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea.
And it says we were all under the cloud and passed through the sea. And when you read, you understand as they were out there, there was, when he says the cloud, he's talking about the beam of fire that was a light in the mm-hmm. night, and it protected them and kept the Egyptians away from them as they went. All right. This is that cloud that he's talking about. Go ahead, read on.
And we're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
All right. And so when he says we were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, that's the part in 38 where he says they received the lively oracles to give unto us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's telling you that came via that.
That's
and
right.
That was the baptism and receiving those laws again after coming out of Egypt. Very much like us today coming out of this state of mind where we say we're Puerto Ricans, Haitians, African-American. The baptism is the acknowledgement of your true nationality and then the process of repenting by keeping the commandments. Okay, that's what cleanses you, the washing
right.
of water by the word. Read on.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ.
So when it says that spiritual rock and that spiritual meat and the rock that followed them being Christ, now when you read 38 and he speaks about that prophet, all right, that the Lord God will raise up unto you of your brethren like unto him, he says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai
mm-hmm.
and with our fathers. This is that rock that's Christ. That's what that's talking about, all right? And when he says, like unto me, he doesn't mean like because Moses wasn't as great as Christ, like unto him in the same capacity. Christ came to expound on the law, not abolish it.
That's
all
right.
So he had the same purpose in bringing his people back to repentance, in grafting back in those Israelites that were in a Gentile state of mind, primarily the northern kingdom. OK. And those tribes and bringing that proper understanding of the law. OK. Because you got a lot of people out there that say Christ came. Matthew 5 cuts you right away when 17:18. When it tells you he didn't come to destroy the law.
Oh, I know.
Or the prophets.
It's funny because then they quickly omit that, but then they say, see, it says he fulfilled.
Yeah, no.
Not even understanding.
But you read on 19 and 20 and it cuts you right there because it tells you if you break the lease, you're not going to enter the kingdom.
They want that little precept right there. It says he fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Not understanding it means that he fulfilled the things that were written of him, all right? Coming
right.
to die for the sins of the nation of Israel.
Right. So the point I wanted to make in this, I know you have a different point that you want to bring out as far as the church is concerned and referencing that, but it's that when it says that this was he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, it's talking about Christ.
Right.
All
exactly.
Right? So go ahead.
No, that's basically the whole point of going to this particular precept in Acts 7:38 is to show that the word church just simply means an assembly of people. That's all it is. Christ was amongst the nation of Israel with Moses giving the nation of Israel the laws once again.
All right. We got another caller here. Let me check this out. He's been on hold a little bit. This is the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Yes, sir. My name is Michael. Thank you for taking my call. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, thank you. You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I think one thing I just want to point out, something that I read recently, I think the issue of when it comes to Gentiles' observance to the Mosaic Law, I think the reason that Gentile Christians don't is based, I believe, on Acts 15, when you had the meeting of the apostles after, you know, Peter had that encounter with Cornelius in the vision. And I remember they had a meeting of James, some of the, you know, the elders and the apostles, and they basically came to the conclusion that the Gentiles don't have to observe all of the Mosaic Law. And they laid out, I believe it was four key things, I believe it was avoiding meat sacrificed to idols, meat of strangled animals, not consuming blood, and refraining from sexual immorality. So I think that's why you have that distinction. It's more, I think, more based on that than on Matthew chapter 5. Because Matthew chapter 5, I think that's directed towards Israelites and not the Gentile believers.
Thank you, Michael, and we'll address that. Now, thank you for calling in. So here's the issue. I don't want to turn this show because I want to stay focused on the Roman Catholicism, but I want to deal with your question. The Gentile piece is the first part of the confusion with that, all right? And that's a whole nother class. And like we said in the beginning, if you really want to get understanding on that, because like I said, I just don't want to derail the show. The Gentiles is dealing with the Israelites that were in a Gentile state of mind. All right. Give me John 7:35 first. I'll address it very briefly without going into at length.
The book.
Actually, before you get John 7:35, get me the one in Maccabees. Is it 2 Maccabees about the Gentiles?
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 6 and verse 6. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts or to profess himself at all to be a Jew.
Right. So this is the time of the Israelites. Right. So we're talking about the so-called Jews. Right. This is under the rulership of the Greeks. And he says, listen, it wasn't lawful at that time to profess yourself to even be a Jew. So this is very important to understand historically that there was a time when the identity started being removed. All right. Called different things outside of what you were. This was this was another instance of fulfilling of the prophecy in Deuteronomy 28 and 37, where it says you will be a proverb and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall send you. Okay.
Right.
One of that is, you know, a lot of times we like to think of the negative terms and slang terms that are used for our people. Just the nature of our last names in these days and even the identity of being called Puerto Rican, African American,
right,
whatever it might be, right?
And Second Maccabees too is so heavy because understanding that was the time period of the Greeks, which is why when you read the New Testament, our people were in Greek provinces: Corinth, Philippi, Ephesus, Thessalonica. That's why they were in those Greek states.
That's how they got there. Exactly. That's why they were there. And you're talking about, you know, generations having resided there,
right?
Growing up where it was unlawful to profess yourself to be a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So you start calling yourself things outside of what you are, all right? Just like many of us, you have third, fourth, fifth generation Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Mexicans, and they don't even consider themselves that anymore. And it's like, no, I'm just American,
right?
Okay? Which American is not a race, okay? It's not an identity. It's your citizenship,
right?
Okay? But finish Maccabees. I want the rest of that, okay?
2 Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts.
So now we're going into the law piece. This is where it came that they weren't keeping the law, is that when the Greeks were around, it was unlawful to keep the law. They were trying to separate us from God. And when you look historically, they understood that by being separated from God, if God was not standing for us, then we would fall. Mm-hmm. But if God was with us, we would win any battle. We would stand above all, no matter what power that there was. And you read this through various examples in the scriptures, from Joshua with the walls of Jericho falling, from the escape in Egypt, all right, even up to the time of the Maccabees, the destruction of Nicanor, Purim, all that stuff, all these different things. In being in faith and keeping the laws, our people overcome, all right? Go ahead.
Or to profess himself at all to be a Jew.
Or to profess himself at all to be a Jew. It was unlawful. It was upon pain of death to profess yourself to be a Jew. Sounds like so-called Nazi Germany, right?
Right.
During those times. Go ahead.
And in the day of the king's birth every month, they were brought by bitter constraint.
In the day of the king's birth, in the birthday, but they made him celebrate it every month, right? So if he was born in September, let's say he was born September 1st, every first of the month, the king celebrated his birthday, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The vanity of that, exalting himself. Go ahead.
Were brought by bitter constraint to eat the sacrifices, and when the feast of Bacchus was kept, the Jews were compelled to go in procession to Bacchus carrying ivy.
So it tells you by bitter constraint. By bitter constraint means they didn't want to, but they were forced to. It was that or die, or family would die, or what have you. Go ahead.
Moreover, there went out a decree to the neighboring cities of the heathen by the suggestion of Ptolemy against the Jews that they should observe the same fashions and be partakers of their sacrifices.
And there was a decree that said, listen, the Jews need to do the exact same things that we, the Greeks, do.
Mm-hmm.
This is assimilation of a people, Okay, read on. Is there more on that?
Yep. And whoso would not conform themselves to the manners of the Gentiles.
Who would not conform themselves to the manners of the Gentiles? Who among the Israelites, the so-called Jews, would not conform themselves to the manner of the Gentiles?
Should be put to death.
Should be put to death. This is why I wasn't making it up when I said upon pain of death. This is what bitter constraint and stuff means. You got the death penalty if you profess to be a Jew or if you kept any of the laws. You cannot say that you were an Israelite. And this started in the time of the Greeks. And throughout history, this is what happened. So when you get a member, the Greeks reigned a long time, mm-hmm. okay? So by the time the Romans came on the scene and the time of Christ, okay, when Christ walked the earth, you have to understand that all this damage was already done. There was many of our people walking around. The confusion there is that the Gentiles is speaking of what? Of only other nations. Get me John 7:35, and then I want to get this here in the Bible dictionary.
This is the book of Saint John, chapter 7 and verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles?
He said, where will Christ go that we won't find him? Will he go to the dispersed? They're talking about themselves. He's saying the dispersed, meaning the dispersed of our people. All right, read the part again.
Whither will he go where we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles?
Will he go to the dispersed that are among the Gentiles? There's two references to Gentiles in this verse that we're reading. And then I'm going to back it up with the Bible dictionary. So you understand, Gentiles all the time does not mean other nations. Sometimes, and you need to be learned in the scriptures to understand this, sometimes it means the Israelites.
Okay? I have a little asterisk next to mine where it says Gentiles. It says or Greeks.
Or Greeks. And what do we just read in Maccabees?
Right.
They were assimilated into being called Greeks, just like right. We call ourselves Americans today. You have some of us who say, I'm Dominican American or Cuban American mm-hmm. or African American or Haitian American. All right. So you're trying to hold on to some framework of your name, but then you tack the American on it. All right. So it says, will he go among the Gentiles, to the dispersed that are among the Gentiles in this case, right? Meaning this particular case, he's saying among mm-hmm. the other nations. Go ahead.
And teach the Gentiles.
And teach the Gentiles. He's not saying what they, listen, you got to look at the words. He didn't say, will he go to the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's not what he said. He said, will he go to the dispersed that are among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Showing you that there's a distinction here. The dispersed that are among the Gentiles were also called Gentiles. I'm going to read from the Zondervan's Bible Dictionary, right? And it says Gentiles. It says nation, people, usually it means a non-Israelite people. Usually, mm-hmm. usually means not always. It means sometimes when you read in the scriptures Gentiles, it's talking about the Israelites. So right. I don't make a blanket statement and say Gentiles and heathen are speaking of Israel all the time, but there's context and there's certain scriptures that you know that it's speaking about that. And this is one of the most clear ones. So when you understand historically based on Maccabees and what happened to our people in the time of the Greeks, mm-hmm. then you go and you read John 7:35 with new eyes and you say, oh, this is what's going on
right.
here. And then Romans 11, for example, is not confusing. And you say, oh, the back in, meaning it was once part of that olive tree.
Right.
So how can something that was never part of the promises now under Christ be grafted back in? Then it wouldn't be those terms. It would just say grafted in.
That's why you got to read the whole Bible, Cap.
I mean, yes.
I mean,
yes.
That's why you got to understand the
yes.
history. First
yes.
Kings 12 says that there was a split in the nation of Israel.
Yes.
Right. The Most High cast off the northern kingdom from being his people. So they went into idolatry.
Yes. Right. Now, when you read Acts 15, this is the part that I want. Let's go. Start at. Okay, start at 14, all right? So I'm trying to do this brief because we have 35 minutes and I want to get back on topic to talk a little bit more about Roman Catholicism. We haven't finished our point, but I don't want it to seem like we're shying away from the question because then you'll get the, oh, see, they don't want to answer the questions, right? So go ahead and start at Romans 15. So understand what's going on here. The brother that called was referencing Acts 15 and what was going on at that time. So first, We have to give the understanding of who the Gentiles were. All right, so this is the distinction. So now we know this is another particular case where usually it means a non-Israelite people, but in this case, the Gentiles is talking about an Israelite people. Go ahead.
The book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 14. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles.
And that's Peter, Simon Peter, Simeon, all right, have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Go ahead.
To take out of them a people for his name.
The people for his name is that dispersed that's among the Gentiles. All right, go ahead.
And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this will I return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up.
And he's quoting Amos here, all right? So, well, paraphrasing Amos, mm-hmm. because Amos is a little more distinct in how this goes, okay? But he's paraphrasing Amos here, and he's telling you that, hey, I'm not telling you nothing new. Because that's the misconception with Christ.
Right.
I'm not saying something new to you, okay? I'm telling you that the prophets said this before time, that there were going to be people that were going to come out of the Gentiles. Go ahead.
He says, I'm letting you know that this is coming to pass.
Right. Go ahead.
It says that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called.
Residue is another name for dispersed, scattered, remnant.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world.
He's telling you, all this stuff was established from the beginning. If you know your scriptures and you know your history, this is the problem with modern Christianity and many sects of it, is that they're unlearned. They jump into it from a prosperity gospel standpoint. They jump into it from a standpoint of love and feeling good, and it loses the context.
That's right.
It's like I'm reading a medical book on how to do heart surgery, and I jump to the part where I'm making incisions, and I know nothing of the anatomy of the heart. I'm going to cut one of the valves that I shouldn't cut, mm-hmm. or something like that. You can't do this in part. You need to know the whole book, all right? Peter warns of this, especially when you get into Paul's writings. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble them, that we trouble not them.
So he's made a point here, and he's going to make it again at the end. This stuff was known from the beginning. So he's letting you know these people at one time historically knew these things. So this is my sentence. Let's not trouble them, okay?
Which from among the Gentiles are turned to God.
There we go. Which from among the Gentiles. Okay? So he's talking about those dispersed, just like John 7:35. Go ahead.
But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood.
So he was very specific. And he says, listen, just tell them to do these things, but there's a reason why. Read the next verse.
For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day.
Why would he say that? What frame of reference does this have if the mindset is that he's talking about the other nations?
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that why would he reference Moses in that? At that time, only Jews resorted in the synagogues. Only Jews went to the synagogues to get the word. So this is another indication that he's talking about a people that are familiar with and privy to this knowledge. Mm-hmm. All right, give me Romans 3, where it says, unto them were delivered the oracles of God, so that you understand, this will kind of help slightly validate what I'm saying here.
The book of Romans, chapter 3, and verse 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
The oracles of God were committed unto the Jews, right? In the synagogues. So when you read verse 21 and he says, for Moses of old time having every city him that preached him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day, what he's telling you here in his judgment in verse 20 is only address these things in the law because the rest of the law is taught. Mm-hmm. So don't stress them. They're still going to go to the synagogues. Some of them have gone to the synagogues and they've had this law. They can get the rest of it via that.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on these things, which are their specific sins that they're dealing with and what they're troubled with now. If I have a brother come up to me telling me he's struggling with lust, am I going to give him scriptures on how to not be a thief?
Right. On the dietary law?
On the dietary law? No, that doesn't make any sense. All right. If you got a headache, am I going to give you antibiotics? No. All right. So you have to put these things in context. The problem is with many people are trying to, first of all, read a book that's not for them, okay,
mm-hmm.
and trying to mold it and put it into something else, all right? But then on top of that is that you want to jump in the middle. you want to jump in and the game's already been on for a while and thinking that you're going to come in and have a grasp or an understanding of what's going on. And this isn't an offense to the caller individually. I'm saying this by and large, and this is the confusion that comes with the scriptures. All right. So let's get back on track to this, because we have classes like this online that, that break this down in much more detail. And let's go back to what we were talking about. So we were talking about Matthew, right, with the
Matthew 16,
right?
About the misunderstanding that Catholics like to use, that that's Peter being set up as the first pope.
Correct.
We were dealing with the word church. Can you give me Hebrews 12 and 23? That's the one that I wanted. That's going to tie in perfect with it. Hebrews 12, verse 23.
Right. And so we read in Acts 7, so you understand the church in the wilderness. The point that we really didn't get to explain is that there was no physical building in the church.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it's not talking about a building. The brother brought out the scripture about God does not dwell in temples and buildings and things like that. The church is the people. The church are the Israelites, okay, that are gathered together in his name. So we said Hebrews 12 and 23.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 12 and 23. It says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
So the key point that I wanted was that precept that says to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. All right. We understand that the firstborn is the nation of Israel. So the word church just simply just means an assembly of. So back in Acts, or not Acts, I'm sorry, but St. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, when he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So he's saying, upon this rock will I build my church. Upon me, I'm the foundation of the nation of Israel. Upon myself will I build back up the nation of Israel. Read on that.
Verse 19?
No, verse 18.
I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
And upon thou art Peter, and upon myself will I build the nation of Israel. Read.
And the gates of hell should not prevail against it.
So give me Deuteronomy 16 and verse 18. So let's explain the gates. The gates. All right. It says that thou art Peter, and upon myself will I build the nation of Israel, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Deuteronomy 16 verse 18. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment.
So when it makes reference to gates, it's referring to leadership, those that will judge the people justly with the laws of God. All right. So when you go back to St. Matthew 16, when it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, it means that the leadership of hell shall not prevail. So now give me Isaiah 5 and verse 13. Isaiah 5, verse 13. This is going to tie it all in together. Again, precept upon precept. Just throwing out a few quick scriptures to get the proper understanding that Christ is not establishing Peter as the first pope.
Right. Isaiah 5 and 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst.
So it says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity. The subject matter in this is talking about the captivity, okay? Because we have no knowledge. We don't keep God's laws. He told us in Deuteronomy 28, you keep these laws, you will receive these blessings. You break these laws, you will receive these curses. It says, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. We're thirsty for the word of God. It's not talking about we're physically thirsty, all right? We are spiritually dead to who we are as a people.
Hey, that's why Hebrews 10 says that spiritual meat and that spiritual drink.
Exactly.
So when it says famished, that's dealing with the meat. And when it says thirst, that's dealing with the spiritual drink.
No, absolutely. Read verse 14.
Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself.
Read the top of verse 13.
Therefore, my people are gone into captivity.
Verse 14.
Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself.
So hell is making reference to captivity. All right. There's different forms of hell and heaven that the Bible goes into, but this particular one is talking about captivity. Guess what? You Black and Hispanics and Native Americans, you're in hell right now. When you wake up and you go punch a clock to keep your oppressor's kingdom going, that's hell. When you have to choose between Burger King or McDonald's because you don't have the freedom to produce your own food, that's hell. All right, that's captivity.
Hey, like Christ said, when you can tax, then you're free.
Exactly.
We don't collect taxes.
when you're called something outside of your name, when you're given identities, when you have confusion of faces,
mm-hmm.
all right, when you look even now in these days and times and you're subject to double standards, all right, hypocrisy, like we spoke about in the lies of Edom last week, all right, that's hell.
Right.
And you have no might in your hand. A cop unjustly, I'm not saying all cops, we've gone through this at length, but when a cop unjustly kills one of our brothers, all right, you can't, you have no might in your hand to
do anything about it. We let options confuse us with having freedom, all right? That's not the case whatsoever, all right? We will never be free as a people until we come together, keep the laws of the Most High and the faith of His Son, all right, and Christ returns and establishes His kingdom. But back in Matthew 16 and verse 18 again.
Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee.
And I say unto thee, read.
Thou art Peter.
That you are Peter, read.
And upon this rock.
And upon myself.
I will build my church.
I will build the nation of Israel, because I am the foundation. I am the way, the truth, and the life, read.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
And the leadership of this present captivity, at this current time, it was Rome. But we understand that America is nothing but an extension of Rome. It says that no matter what they throw at you, no matter the trillions of dollars they spend to keep you in servitude, to keep you desolate, to keep you nothing, it says it's not going to prevail against it.
Right, right. Let me get a precept for that. Give me Daniel 2 and 44.
The book of Daniel, chapter 2 and verse 44.
So when it says the church, all right, and the people set up, the assembly, it's talking about, like the brother brought out, Israel, okay? And just so you know, that the rulers of this world, it is talking about, okay, in this time with the rulers of this world. Read.
Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of the kings.
And in the days of these kings.
In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed.
The gates of hell will not prevail against it.
And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Because you know what's funny, man? You got a lot of people walking around, and they're saying to themselves, Christ is going to come and set the world in order, and not fully understanding what that means. They really think that the vision of the kingdom of heaven is going to be that these world governments are still going to be in place.
Right.
And that it's just going to be, like, I've even seen freaking people do art where they put Caesar Borgia, which the world ignorantly has as the image of Christ in their mind. And they put Caesar Borgia like standing behind politicians, like in the Senate, like he's guiding them into talking that stuff. Now, we do know the Lord hardens hearts and his hand is in everything and he does pull strings. OK, but that's the devil. If anything, it's kind of appropriate with the right understanding that having Caesar right. behind him is letting you know who's really running the show right now. But it still all stems from God. And this is telling you, it says, but it's going to break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It's going to consume all these peoples, all these governments, United Nations, European Unions, all of that, because it has to be destroyed.
It has to be, because in Matthew 6, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. So if the Most High's will is not being done on earth, then whose will is being done?
Right.
Obviously, the will being done right now is contrary to what God says.
Right. Also, that's the Lord's Prayer wouldn't say that.
Exactly. That's why Christ has to return and restore order to things how they were in the very beginning.
Yeah. And you really think that these people who sit in seats of power, listen, the Pharisees, because they didn't want to lose their seats,
mm-hmm.
didn't want the Lord's will to be done.
Exactly.
How much the more these people who don't believe, and when they actually find out that Christ is a black man, like the Bible describes him to be, or what you would call a black man today, he's really a Jew,
right,
from the tribe of Judah, an Israelite, from the seed of David.
I actually told someone that at work the other day. We were talking. He was asking me about my fringes. And so I got into a brief conversation with him at lunch. And then I told him, I said, well, what's your nationality? He said, oh, I'm African-American. I said, well, then you're an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. I said, if Christ was here today, he'd be called an African-American. And his face was like, I didn't say he'd be black. I said he would be an African-American because you come from the same lineage, the same bloodline as Jesus Christ.
Right, right. Yeah, if he was here today, they would – and he filled out a census form.
Yep, exactly.
He would be forced to fill
– Exactly. He would.
I mean, Christ really wouldn't be forced to do anything, but you get what I'm saying, right? If he had to choose, that's what he would choose.
Right.
You could put other
– I mean. Not if you want that job, though.
No, not if you want that job. You better freaking put that.
This is Wisdom of Solomon 18, verse 17, or verse 7. One of my favorite scriptures. It says, So of thy people was accepted both the salvation of the righteous and destruction of the enemies. So we have to understand that there's no such thing as salvation unless what we just read in Daniel 2:44 has to come to pass.
Right, right. Let me get Hebrews 12:28. Right. Some people don't like the Old Testament.
Right.
Catholics don't. Christianity doesn't.
Catholics don't like the whole Bible. Hebrews 12 and then verse 28.
I know. We didn't even get into it. I mean, we got like 19 minutes, but we'll talk a little bit. We might have to jump back on Roman Catholicism, bro. But I got the two Babylons as a comparison. And that thing like really dissects all their imagery and stuff like that. We definitely gonna have to jump back into this. 12:28.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved.
All right, so this is that same kingdom in Daniel that it's talking about, all right, that'll stand forever. It's the same thing in Matthew 16:18 when it talks about the gates of hell will not prevail against it, okay? It says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom, all right, God's will being done in earth as it is in heaven, which cannot be moved. Go ahead.
Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence, and godly fear.
And there's plenty of scriptures that let you know. See, the problem is people look at that and they say, well, they're not saying commandments there. That's you not knowing your source material.
Right.
That's you not having a full understanding of the scriptures. It says, whereby we may serve God acceptably. God tells you what's acceptable to him. Okay. That good and acceptable will. And it says, with reverence, with the respect that the Lord deserves, and godly fear. And godly fear is manifested in keeping the laws. He says, for our God is a consuming fire. That's a reminder of the Lord that you serve. All right? You got something you're going to bring up?
Yeah, yeah. It says right here in Hebrews, to serve God acceptably, right, with the fear. This is Sirach 2, verse 16. That they that fear the Lord will seek that which is well-pleasing unto him, and they that love him shall be filled with the law. So that's how you serve the Lord acceptably. You're filled with the law when you seek to please him. That's right. What's well pleasing to the Lord.
Right, right. John 14:15. Because again, the caller had mentioned something about Matthew 5 and the confusion with that. So it makes me think of that. I'm not going back to jump on that topic, but it just kind of validating what we're saying here. It says, Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm. Simple.
Which commandments? He tells you, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how are you going to tell some others that they don't got to keep all of it, right? It doesn't make sense. Like, oh, well, you know, this is why Acts 15 says this. You got to try to look at things from a higher level, right? The Lord is not confusion. The Lord does not contradict. Because you have the other group that will say, well, no, this contradicts that. It doesn't. It has to be done and read in context, all right? So I implore anybody who has that mindset and that thinking, the reason you're saying those things is because that's the line you've been fed by your Catholic priests. That's the line you've been fed by various pastors and all these different denominations, that's the standard and that's what's set up. It creates confusion. Hey, let me tell you, man, when I said in the beginning about when you read, it says that the Roman Catholic Church is the decisive spiritual force in the history of Western civilization. The caller was a perfect example of that. The questions that come of that, you know, and the Starbucks brother, I wish we would have been able to get his commentary, but I appreciate him being candid, though, like we caught him while he was about to do his Starbucks thing. But, you know, and brother, if you're an Israelite, if you're native Latin or black, so-called black Hispanic, all right, you shouldn't be buying anything on the Sabbath anyway, all right? You're supposed to lay that up beforehand. Make that coffee the night before, throw it in a thermos.
That's right.
Okay, and just leave it in there, okay? Or drink some iced coffee. That's what I do. I got my little double shot, cold, and I don't share it.
And he doesn't share it. This is true.
You know, but, yeah, I mean, too bad we couldn't address that. You know, and typically, I mean, the question was kind of really off topic, but it inspired something in someone to want to speak about it. So this is why I say, for the most part, we'll take all comments and deal with it, but we're not going to derail the show, right? So we're not going to sit here and turn it into a debate. We're going to give, you know, you get your one question in, and then, you know, we'll address it.
I mean, like you said, the word never goes out of void. And if he had that understanding, just think how many people actually have that same exact understanding.
Oh, I know. So going back to me, I was raised Catholic. I was in the Catholic Church. You know, they have I think it's called the Catechisms. I can't remember the name of their book. Let me see what I got here. Let me switch gears a little bit and get some of this in here, right? So we have, you know, this history piece here on Catholicism, but let me jump on. This is dummies.com. It's the basic beliefs of Catholicism. All right, so let's go over some of these basic beliefs. Catholics are, first and foremost, Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay? They actually take it a step further. They believe Christ is God.
Right, they believe in the whole
Trinity. Yeah, okay. Which, it is a Trinity, and they are one, but the scripture talks about their one mind. We have classes on that, too. All right? Catholicism shares some beliefs with other Christian practices, but essential Catholic beliefs include the following. The Bible is the inspired, error-free, and revealed Word of God. This is correct. Baptism,
Bing.
the rite of becoming a Christian, is necessary for salvation, whether the baptism occurs by water, blood, or desire. This is partially correct. Okay? Water, and we have stuff, baptism is another one. I'm going to have to do that as a topic here, not on the show per se, but maybe the show would be good.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's not just in the Christian community. It's in within the nation of Israel, too. People thinking that you have to get dipped in water in order to get salvation.
Hey, nobody could forbid you from getting dipped in water, but you're not baptized if you ain't repenting.
Right, exactly.
So you want to go dip yourself in water, go do that. It's just not a doctrine, right? Just like the name. You can say the name. It's not required for salvation, though. Stop that BS, all right? Baptism, the rite of becoming a Christian, is necessary for salvation. Baptism is necessary for salvation. Water, I don't know what they mean by blood. That's weird.
Yeah.
or desire. That's probably the closest one, right?
Right?
Because desire will drive you in godly sorrow and fear of the Lord to keep the commandments.
Right.
Right? So, you know, partially right.
partial credit on that one?
No, partial credit.
Oh, okay. All right.
Catholicism believes in God's Ten Commandments. That they provide a moral compass, an ethical standard to live by. It's not a compass because a compass sways, right, and it moves around. It is an ethical standard, but the key there is in commandments.
I was just going to say it's called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions.
Exactly. It's not the Ten Suggestions. It's the Ten Commandments, okay? And the commandments are just the summary of all the laws, all right? And then Christ came and really made it simple and brought it down into two.
Right.
Okay. The existence of the Holy Trinity. One God in three persons. Catholics embrace the belief that God, the one supreme being, is made up of three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is with the confusion of where it talks about their one and what have you.
Well, it's funny because he says it like one time that I am, my Father are one. But then there's so many other scriptures that say that they're two separate things. And he says,
that makes no sense. That's like you and me standing together and be like, yo, me and you are one.
Right. I the best way I explained it to like somebody at camp one time, I was teaching, and then he brought that out. And then after precept upon precept, he still wasn't getting it. So finally, I was like, Israel, who's the king? And we said, Christ. See, we're all one mind, one accord. That's it. We're all in agreement.
Right. Yeah, it confuses them. I think there's another one that says these three are one. I don't know if it's in Revelations or whatever.
There's one in First John as well.
Is that what it is?
But then the next verse explains exactly what it means.
Right, exactly. So it says, so be made up of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No, he's not Voltron. Okay, it's not like different things and parts, and he comes together and forms like, you know, let's form the Super Saiyan God. You know, no, it don't work that way, right? It's talking about that they're all one in the doctrine, in the job that needs to be done. I mean, there's plenty of scripture. I'm not gonna waste time on that. Catholics also believe that since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, all humans are born with original sin. Now, the term original sin is not used in the Bible, okay? It does talk about the first sin being idolatry. And that's the proper understanding of Genesis. You have to understand that a lot of that is similitude, especially when it's talking about the tree of knowledge and talking snakes. Snakes don't talk.
The the first three chapters of Genesis are the hardest in the whole Bible to even understand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's somewhat similitude and allegories.
Yeah, the confusion with Cain and Abel. You're like, how? But you know what it is? It's people just, their mind's not open to receive it spiritually, where they're like, well, wait a second. If it was Adam and Eve and then Cain and Abel, who in the world's going to kill them? Aha! So in their minds, they say, see, it's BS, rather than fully understanding what happened during creation.
Right.
And I'll leave it at that. I know some people who might not know, they're probably like, but wait, explain that. It's going to take too long. We don't got enough time, but the show's going to cut in like 10 minutes, all right? That's too much butter for the biscuit, bro.
Too much.
Yeah, the biscuit got to be cooked first.
What else is on that list? Because I'm hoping it's on there. But if not, then I'll do I'll have the privilege of dropping the bomb.
Yeah, sure. So let me finish. So it says Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. All humans are born with original sin, which only baptism removes. A happier belief is in grace, a totally free, unmerited gift from God. We just read, "If you love me, keep my commandments."
Right.
There's another one where Christ says, ye are my friends, if you do my Father's will, or something like that, right? They said a happier belief is in grace, meaning no laws, totally free, unmerited gift from God. God's relationship with us is conditional.
It says a happier belief because they can stay in as much sin as they want because they're under grace.
Get Deuteronomy 28:1. You got to understand, when the giving of the law was done again, all right, This is what I mean, and I just quoted a few from Christ where he says, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says you're his friends if you do his Father's will. Whenever there's there's a conditional thing. They're saying that it's a totally free, unmerited gift. So what they're saying is that you don't earn the kingdom.
Right.
It's just given.
Right.
And that's so contrary to scripture. All right. Go ahead. Read.
Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Here's that if again. And it says, if you so hearken diligently unto the word thy God, the word of the Lord thy God. Go ahead.
To observe and to do all his commandments.
To observe and to do, right? So it's two parts. So it means observe is to learn about them and then to do them. Okay, go ahead.
Which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
Right, so that goes into what the promise of the kingdom is. But the point I wanted from that is that it's a conditional relationship, and it always has been. Christ didn't change that. There's plenty of scriptures. I gave you a couple where Christ is talking how God rules. All right? Even in the New Testament, when you read Paul, it says, I'm going to look for it. Go ahead, talk, say something. I had it for my class from last night.
Okay, and the flip side, all right, this is verse 15. It says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So it's conditional. Either you keep the laws, you receive the blessings. You don't keep the laws, you receive the curses. The ultimate, in the end times is going to be what? That lake of fire which shall burn forever, which is the second death. All right?
Okay, 1 John 3:22. All right. That's what I want.
The book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him.
Christians want you to stop right there, right? We just read in Catholicism that one of their beliefs is that it's a totally free, grace is a totally free, unmerited gift from God, right? You know, so you can get salvation as a totally grace is sharing in the divine, the inspiration to do God's will. They don't understand what God's will is then, so they're contradicting themselves. And then go ahead, continue on, right? So it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him.
Because we keep his commandments.
Because whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. This is the New Testament, all right, 1 John 3:22. Because we keep his commandments, go ahead.
And do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
That doesn't sound like a totally free, unmerited gift from God.
Not at all.
That sounds like there's requirements.
It goes back to what I read in Sirach, too.
Prerequisites.
About doing what's well-pleasing means that you'll be filled with the law.
Right. Right. That is correct.
Precept must
be upon
precept.
That is correct. Ding! Ding!
Precept must be upon precept.
Let's see. It says, remember, and have a finger, like tie a string around the finger. Catholics recognize the unity of body and soul for each human being. So the whole religion senses on the truth that humankind stands between the two worlds of matter and spirit. The physical world is considered part of God's creation and is therefore inherently good until an individual misuses it. Catholics also recognize the Ten Commandments. For more on the basics of Catholicism, refer to the 12 Articles of Catholic Faith.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe it's in there what you're looking for. Let me see how much time we got left. We got about 5 minutes. Let me scan through this. Article, if you want the basics of Catholic faith, look no further than Articles of Catholic Faith. The list of 12 articles mirrors the Apostles' Creed. So this is what I was talking about. This is part of what they hold in higher esteem than the Bible. They'll tell you no, that the Bible is the ultimate, mm-hmm. but they have their own set of rules, just like Judaism, right, mm-hmm. and the Tanakh, which is their – or is it the Talmud? The Torah is the first five books. There's one that's the rabbi's interpretation right. of everything. And they hold that actually in higher esteem. So instead of going to the scripture to understand how to deal with a matter, they go to that book. And I apologize that I always get them confused. They all start
Officer,
with a T.
Officer Israelis studied to be a Catholic priest for 5 years and
yeah.
said never once did he open the Bible.
That's insane. Yeah, so I think it's called the Catechisms or something like that, all right? So now they have their articles, right? So it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. This affirms that God exists, that he's a triune God, one God in three persons known as the Holy Trinity, and that he created the known universe. Article 2, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. This attests that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's most certainly divine. The word Lord implies divinity because the Greek, we don't need that. Article 3, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
Oh, there it is. There it is. That's like the ultimate bomb that I love to drop on Catholics. Guess what? Mary was not a virgin. She had sexual relationships with Joseph, and Joseph is his physical father.
Yeah, and what's terrible is that we literally do not have enough time to bring that out. It says, this affirms the human nature of Christ. This is correct. Meaning he had a real, true human mother and a father.
And a father.
When you read his lineage, but when one it starts with his lineage.
Now we have to do a part two, so that way those that heard the bomb
There's just too much stuff with Catholicism that's it's not going to be encompassed in one show. We're going to have to talk about this again.
Bro,
I know Kevin Parnes is going to be happy about that because he's going to want to get in on this.
You tell the Northern Kingdom tribes that Mary was not a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, man, because they love Mary.
Guadalupe. And also affirms his divine nature, meaning he had no human father.
Gosh.
See, fairy tales. This is why nobody takes the Bible serious.
Mm-hmm.
Fairy tales. Meaning he had no human father, but by the power of the Holy Spirit was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He's therefore considered both God and man by Christians, fully divine and fully human.
You know what?
He is fully divine and fully human.
There is Catholics, too, that say that she was an ever-virgin. But then you read the scriptures where it says he had brothers and sisters. But stop.
Oh, goodness. Bro, I can't with the lies. Let me see what else they got here. He descended into hell. Actually, he walked in hell.
Right.
Here on earth, based on
right.
what we brought out, okay?
Right.
I got to keep these articles, but we got to go through this again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. It does say that. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. This is correct. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We do. In the proper understanding, okay? The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. That is not the communion of saints. Psalms tells you who the saints are. The forgiveness of sins, that is correct. The resurrection of the body, this is correct. And in life everlasting, yes, but they don't have it really lined up the right way. We got a minute and a half left. You know, I mean, all praises that we have some people calling in. Oh, Pari, just so it is the Talmud. Okay, so it's the Torah, the Tanakh, it's the Talmud. Okay. Oh, he wanted me to do a scripture. You're not here. Get well. You bring this out next time. We don't got enough time, bro. I wish I would have seen it. I don't have you here monitoring the show, bro, so I can't do it. All right. I pray you're feeling somewhat better, Cap. All right.
Hey, Cap.
Don't worry. We're gonna touch this again, Cap. We gotta touch this again. I know you hot for this, bro. I know you hot for this.
Hey,
because if I went K through 8, I think my brother went to like 10th or 11th grade in Catholic school, something
Man.
Like that, bro. So he even went up to high school. He did his communion.
Dang.
So he did his sacraments. He went through all of that, bro. He went through all of that. Yeah, I think even before we branch off into others, we got to thoroughly dissect and surgically obliterate the lies
bro,
and hypocrisy of Christianity.
I'm telling you,
starting with Roman Catholicism.
I would love nothing more than to go into the scriptures and prove that Joseph was Christ's earthly father.
Hey, we got to touch on it. I think that would be a good way to go into some of this. Let's debunk some of their articles and beliefs, right? Those are their tenets.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good approach to it next time. So, Parium, And Mariah, let's get on it.
All right.
We'll get on it together. All right. Anyway, this is the Native Latin and Black Lives History Show. Thank you for tuning in. Support us. Like, share, spread the show. All right. It uploads as a podcast afterwards. Also at Facebook at the Lost 144K. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.